Hello everyone. So I made a decision at 4:40 p.m. East Coast time in North America on the East Coast to no longer watch cable news media, to no longer watch large media platforms. The majority of the media I don't watch anymore. Even some independent media I don't watch anymore, because a lot of the independent media has the same media bias as cable news media, and media bias is huge on large media platforms. Don't get me wrong, there's some small media platforms that have media bias like cable news. So I want to talk about that right now. This is Wikipedia, and all the citations are there, so this is factual information. It says media bias occurs when journalists and news producers show bias in how they report and cover news. The term media bias implies a pervasive or widespread bias contravening of the standards of journalism rather than the perspective of an individual journalist or article. The direction and degree of media bias in various countries is widely disputed. So, how does that make me feel? Well, a lot of times, I've noticed there's some media platforms that I will keep nameless because I don't want to be sued. Some media platforms, all they do is talk about Democrats, Republicans, Trump, Biden, and the supporters of the two individuals. There's some media platforms where they want you to talk, but they interrupt you so rudely, consistently. They will name call people needlessly. They will engage in us versus them. They will overcover some people in terms of coverage and undercover other people in terms of coverage. What does that mean? They'll overcover insurrectionists. They will undercover, in terms of coverage, people who do positive things in their communities every day. And then I've noticed that when it comes to the media, a lot of the chyrons are degrading. The clickbaits and sound bites are dehumanizing. The shorts, like they do on YouTube, for example, meaning small clips, are about getting people to have like a verbal food fight, kind of like a food fight in school, but imagine that with words, war words, if you will. I said YouTube, you know, because that's where you see a lot of the short clips, the most on YouTube. A lot of times in the media, what they will do is purposely invite guests just to argue with them, which is something I would never understand. Why would I have you on my platform just to help you to help me raise my own blood pressure at stroke levels? And what I don't understand is there is underrepresentation. Like, there's not enough people with autism, with neurodiversity, neurodivergent, neurodistinct as a part of their networks. Women are grossly underrepresented too. Asians are underrepresented. Black people are underrepresented. Indigenous persons are underrepresented. Hispanic descent persons are underrepresented. And people with certain conditions and diagnoses are underrepresented as part of their networks. So a lot of times with the media, they want you to be on their show, but they don't want to include people like you as a part of their staff so people can be properly represented, where there's a healthy amount of each historically marginalized community as a part of their network, especially as part of the networking decisions that they make. And then I noticed with the media, a lot of the media, they curse each other out. They question each other's gender. They question each other's sexuality. They will insult someone's wardrobe as a way of questioning their humanity, their strength, their sense of themselves, their self-esteem. A lot of times, there's a lot of clout chasing, I've noticed. When someone says something, now you want to say stories about this person, but when that person wasn't saying anything, you didn't say any stories about them. Things that haven't been told before, now that it's been told, now you want to go, well, I got dirt on this person trying to act like they got dirt on it, but I got dirt on this person. Why wasn't you saying that when that person wasn't saying that? All of a sudden, now you're being vocal. And then I've noticed that with the media too, that there has been a lot of following people around, not to have a civil discussion. It's more of a, I want to violate your privacy and confidentiality. I want to ask you questions that I know you don't want me to ask. We're not talking about criminality in this case. We're talking about upstanding people who don't want to put their personal life out there. You keep putting the mic in their face. And what I don't understand, this is really weird to me. Why would I shout questions at you after you make your statement and then you leave to get in your car to go home or to go wherever you want to go? Shouting questions doesn't get any of your questions answered. And if somebody is obviously not willing to answer your question, then get to know them so you can know, okay, this is the kind of questions I ask them. And these are the kind of questions I shouldn't be asking people. And I've noticed in the media that there is a falsified tell it like a T.I. is, where they, what they do is attempt to be these over-the-top silver-tongued people. It's all about a warped version of talk from the hip and say it with your chest, meaning their way of having no filter is horrible, because they tell stories that obviously doesn't have the permission of the person telling stories. It's basically confessing secrets on air. I'm not talking about unhealthy secrets. I'm talking about healthy secrets. And there's a lot of blabbermouthing going on in the media. And then I've noticed that when it comes to the media itself, that the way they treat abuse survivors, they will question the eroticism of a rape survivor instead of focusing on the fact that this person is clearly in need of empathy. I'm not going to ask the survivor about their yearnings, erotically speaking, because that's inappropriate and, frankly, none of our business. What I will ask is, how can I be a part of your healing journey? It's okay if I'm a part of your healing journey? And if so, you know, here's what I'm good at. How can my gifts help heal you? How can my skill sets help heal you? And I feel like when you help a survivor to have the capability of choice, the ability of decision, then they'll say, well, you know, the way you're, you know, having these having you speak to me kindly, that's what I need you to keep doing to me. Well, doing with me is better wording. This is what I need you to keep doing with me. You know, you have this calming presence. You may sing well. Every time you're around me, just sing to me. And that helps me so much. A lot of times in the media, what you get is the vilification of abuse survivors. They'll ask wardrobe questions. They'll ask hairstyle questions. They'll ask body type questions. They'll ask body shape questions. They'll ask skin color questions. They'll ask sexual history questions, romantic history questions. They'll ask, then they'll ask, well, they'll ask, are you promiscuous or monogamous type questions? And they'll ask, they'll make victim blaming statements and ask victim blaming questions, is what I'm basically saying. They'll ask victim gaming, victim shaming questions and state victim blaming, victim shaming, and victim gaming questions. And just statements, I said the same thing, but it's the truth. I notice a lot of times they'll either accuse you of lying or they'll pile on heartless questions and heartless statements and heartless innuendos and heartless hints. A lot of times their gestures are offensive, their facial expressions are offensive, their body language is offensive, their tone of voice is offensive, their word choices are offensive, their presence and their energy is offensive. And I've noticed that in the media. I'll give you an example. When I was at RCM of Washington Incorporated, I remember being on a newspaper blitz. I was in the Washington Post. I was in I was in WAMU. Okay, so I was on WAMU 88.5 FM radio program, the Centennial newspaper, Prince George's County. Yes, so, but I noticed that some people was like, yeah, I saw you in the newspaper. And they would go about their business after I would express my gratitude for them seeing me in the newspapers. But I remember there was one media outlet out that will remain nameless because I don't want to get sued, that chose not to have me on their television program, even though they were in talks with RCM to have me as a part of their television program. And I noticed that I was never on the local television in D.C. That will remain nameless, too. Because, again, I don't want to be sued. But I did notice that people that have been negative, that are always in the news for doing heinous activities, they get global television coverage, local television coverage, national television coverage, county television coverage, city television coverage, island television coverage. And it has always been sources of sadness for me, because I get way less coverage than people who never do anything positive. But I do everything positive, and all I have right now is the podcast. And I have 3 plays a day. I have, I get an average of 2 plays each episode, but sometimes Anchor will say, well, you get 3 plays per episode. Either way, I barely get any plays. Here's why. One, to be honest with you, I'm job hunting, so I don't have regular money coming in. That's why I don't have a website. When you're on the autism spectrum, economic injustice is real. So the only thing I can do is speak. The only thing I have is my voice. I'm not able to do much more because of the money shortage issue. I'm not exactly broke, but I'm not also able to just go spend money all willy-nilly. I've never been that kind of person, never have, never will be, but I don't have the kind of money where I can spend and easily make it back. It's not like that. And I don't have a website because of that, because websites cost money. If I had regular money, I would have started a website a while ago, but I've been unemployed for almost 5 years. That's why I have a lot of time on my hands to do the podcasting, because a lot of people don't understand, I would love to do more and not just talk, but when you're systematically disadvantaged, the only thing you can do is talk. So I decided to stop watching the media because I recognized that because with the media is really not designed for truth. It's designed for making what's uncontroversial controversial. It's designed for political party affiliation competitions. It's designed for Hollywood insertion, fan club battles, meaning who can have the most ties to Hollywood figures and the Hollywood elite. Then they have the celebrity culture contest, who knows the most celebrities, who is the biggest celebrity. They'll ask you questions about other people in terms of who's trying to feud with you. Even if you're not feuding with that person, but that person is just insulting you. It's like, why are you asking me about other people? This is not their interview. This is my interview. I have noticed that I, and I've said this before, but I'm going to really say this, but I'm going to really say this again, that, you know, I've learned these lessons, but I've relearned them, and here it goes. I've learned to consume wholesome television and to avoid unwholesome television. I consume wholesome internet and I avoid the unwholesome parts of the internet. I read wholesome books and I avoid unwholesome books. I hold wholesome conversations. I avoid unwholesome conversations. I consume wholesome movies. I avoid unwholesome movies. I consume wholesome magazines. I avoid unwholesome magazines. I consume wholesome music. I avoid unwholesome music. Wholesome lyrics and wholesome scripts are what I consume. I avoid unwholesome lyrics and unwholesome scripts. What I've learned to do is this. Is that when it comes to is that this is what helps me out. I am very mindful of media. I consume wholesome media communication. I avoid unwholesome media communication. I consume wholesome advertising media. I avoid unwholesome advertising media. I consume wholesome broadcast media. I avoid the unwholesome type of broadcast media. So there's wholesome advertising media, then there's the unwholesome type of advertising media, right? I consume wholesome digital media, which means I avoid the unwholesome type of digital media. I consume wholesome electronic media, therefore I avoid the unwholesome type of electronic media. And for me, honestly, I consume wholesome electronic media. I avoid the unwholesome type of electronic media. I consume the wholesome hypermedia. I avoid the unwholesome type of hypermedia. I consume the wholesome interactive media. I avoid the unwholesome type of interactive media. So basically, I consume wholesome mass media, wholesome media program, wholesome multimedia, wholesome new media, wholesome news media, wholesome print media, wholesome published media, wholesome recording mediums, and wholesome social media. Therefore, I avoid unwholesome types of mass media, unwholesome types of media program, unwholesome types of multimedia, unwholesome types of new media, unwholesome types of news media, unwholesome types of print media, unwholesome types of published media, unwholesome types of recording mediums, and the unwholesome types of social media. I consume wholesome media player software and wholesome storage media. Therefore, I avoid the unwholesome types of media player software and the unwholesome types of storage media. I consume wholesome art media. I avoid the unwholesome types of art media. Let me read more to you. It says, practical limitations to media neutrality include the inability of journalists to report all available stories and facts. Hopefully that's because if there is a time constraint, I can understand that. But the most important points of a story should never be left out. Whether it's a positive or negative story, evidence and sourcing and citations should be factored into all stories. And it says in the requirement that selected facts be linked into a coherent narrative. The narrative should be truthful, fact-checked, and facts. Alternative facts do not exist. Lies exist. Then it says government influence, including overt and covert censorship. Biases is the media in some countries, for example, China, North Korea, Syria, and Myanmar. Don't forget Russia. Because in dictatorships, there's no constructive criticism against the dictator. It's hard to have a successful uprising, legally speaking, against the dictator because basically all the laws are in favor of the dictators, not the dictated. Then it says politics and media bias may interact with each other. The media has the ability to influence politicians, and politicians may have the power to influence the media. Well, sometimes in some media platforms, they make the good people the bad people and the bad people the good people. So basically, they make the victims the victimizers and the victimizers the victims. And you have some media platforms are subservient to those who claim to be politicians, but they have a terrorist's heart. So you can have terrorist media, some of them. You can have terrorists, those who claim to be politicians, some of them. And some people will say, hey, be my mouthpiece of my political party or some of these politicians. And what I've noticed is that a lot of the media platforms are lazy. They don't want to do the work to find high quality hearted people doing high quality hearted things. But there's congressional infighting. Yes. We're going to get our quick millions and billions right now. But the servant leader who's a community organizer, the social entrepreneur who has created a business that caters to single mothers who have a hard time in life, that business won't get covered. Not even in their local newspapers. Then it says, this can change the distribution of power in society. Market forces may also cause bias. Examples include bias introduced by the ownership of media, including a concentration of media ownership, the subjective selection of staff, or the perceived preferences of an intended audience. Assessing possible biases is one aspect of media literacy. So what I've taught myself is media literacy. A lot of people don't have it. A lot of times with the media, you may confide in them, hey, I don't want this thing talked about, meaning my personal life. But what you tell them behind the scenes, it could be they'll blast your private sexual information on air, your private romantic information on air. You know, you told them, hey, you as a journalist will cover this, will not cover that. And hey, you gotta keep it confidential why I'm not telling you certain things. But they'll tell it. And I also learned that with the media, there are types of biases, and I'll read them to you. It says, there have been extensive attempts to define media bias, and most works focus on individual concepts, which are all reviewed in a research project named the Media Bias Taxonomy. While still ongoing, its attempts to summarize the domain as a distinct subcategory is linguistic bias, encompassing linguistic intergroup bias, framing bias, epistemological bias, bias by semantic properties and connotation bias, text-level context bias, featuring statement bias, phrasing bias, and spin bias, reporting-level context bias, highlighting selection bias, coverage bias and proximity bias, cognitive biases such as selective exposure and partisan bias, and related concepts like framing effects, hate speech, sentiment analysis, and group biases, encompassing gender bias, racial bias, and religion bias. This comprehensive classification underscores the multifaceted nature of media bias, illustrating the complexity of detecting and mitigating biases across different media content and contexts. In 2000, well, before I finish that, I want to explain, because that was clearly a mouthful I read to you. I noticed that in the media, I have seen people lack concise, readable, up-to-date definitions when they try to use dictionary words. I have seen people lack clear, accurate pronunciation and usage information. I have seen people lack the widely used scientific and technical terms. I'm talking about people who try to proclaim themselves to be professorial, meaning they want to talk like college professors, but they're pseudo-intellectuals. I've seen people lack synonyms and antonyms clearly keyed to dictionary entries. I've seen people lack cross references for even more information. I've seen people lack lists of helpful concrete examples. I've seen people lack etymologies for greater understanding. Like, they try to come off as living, breathing dictionaries and thesauruses, but there's nothing groundbreakingly intelligent about them. And the media, and this is true too, I've seen people misuse nouns, misuse plural nouns, misuse singular nouns, misuse feminine nouns, misuse masculine nouns, misuse pronouns, misuse verbs, misuse transitive verbs, misuse intransitive verbs, misuse auxiliary verbs, misuse impersonal verbs, misuse adjectives, misuse adverbs, misuse preposition, misuse prepositions. See, I'm able to lovingly correct myself. In the media, they tend not to do that. I've seen people misuse conjunctions. I've seen people misuse interjections. I've seen people misuse definite articles. I've seen people misuse indefinite articles. I've seen people misuse possessive pronominal adjectives. I've seen people misuse inflected forms. I've seen people misuse part of speech labels. I've seen people misuse definitions. I've seen people misuse etymology. I've seen people misuse capitalization. I've seen people misuse numbering and grouping of senses. I've seen people misuse plural forms. I've seen people misuse verbs followed by prepositions or objects. I've seen people misuse illustrative examples. I've seen people misuse usage labels. I've seen people misuse informal words. I've seen people misuse slang. I've seen people misuse old informal old slang. I've seen people misuse obsolete words and meanings. I've seen people misuse archaic words and meanings. I've seen people misuse old-fashioned words and meanings. I've seen people misuse rare words and rare meanings. I've seen people misuse now rare words and meanings. I've seen people misuse historical words and meanings. I've seen people misuse old poetic words and meanings. I've seen people misuse literary words and meanings. I've seen people misuse dialects. I've seen people misuse British language. I've seen people misuse the Canadian or even Irish languages. I've seen people misuse arrangement of entries and thesauruses. I've seen people misuse running derived entries. I've seen people misuse homographs and superscripts. I've seen people misuse entry blocks. I've seen people misuse antonyms, synonyms, the asterisk. I've seen people misuse suggestions for using the thesaurus in the dictionary and the guides to use them both. I've seen people misuse word divisions and boldface entry, you know, in boldface entry words. I've seen people misuse pop culture references. That happens in media too. Then it says, in 2000, D'Alessio and Allen studied three possible sources of media bias. Coverage bias, when media choose to report only negative news about one party or ideology. I refuse to be on platforms that do that. Gatekeeping bias, also known as selectivity or selection bias. When stories are selected or deselected, sometimes on ideological grounds, see spike. It is sometimes also referred to as agenda bias, when the focus is on political actors and political actresses and whether they are covered based on their preferred policy issues. I refuse to be a part of gatekeeping bias media platforms. Okay, I'm going to say it twice so I can remember for certain. Sometimes I repeat myself to do that. I refuse to be a guest on coverage bias media platforms. I refuse to be a guest on gatekeeping bias media platforms. Statement bias, also known as tonality bias or presentation bias. When media coverage is slanted towards or against particular actors, particular actions, or issues, I refuse to be a guest on statement bias media platforms. Then it says, based on the findings of Gentzko, Shapiro, and Stone, they summarize two forms of media bias in the literature driven by different motivations, demand-driven bias and supply-driven bias. Demand-driven bias includes three factors, reputation, in quotations, intrinsic utility from beliefs, in quotations, and delegation or advice, in quotations. So, in my view, I don't want to be a part of any media platforms where it's not well-balanced, not well-rounded, not well-unified, and not well-adjusted. because I've noticed that you can be against human rights violations, but being bigoted against immigrants, being bigoted against abuse survivors, being bigoted against the LGBTQI plus community, to be bigoted against black people, to be bigoted against autistic people, I cannot ever be a part of those media platforms. It says other common forms of political and non-political media bias include advertising bias, when stories are selected or slanted to please advertisers. I refuse to be a guest on those platforms. Concision bias, a tendency to report views that can be summarized succinctly, crowding out more unconventional views that take time to explain. Ooh, so for me, there are some media platforms where if you're unconventional and have an unconventional take on things, then they'll misrepresent what you say or not feature what you say. Therefore, if we're not having enough room for wholesomeness in terms of proper footaging, I made up that word because I'm well educated, then I have a problem with that. That's crowding out all the wisdom that can be shown. No way. I refuse to be a guest on those platforms. Content bias, differential treatment of the parties in political conflicts where biased news presents only one side of the conflict. Oh no, I refuse to be a guest on those platforms. Corporate bias, when stories are selected or slanted to please corporate owners of media. Oh no, the corporate world tends to be biased against my humanity, so I will not be a guest on their platforms. Decision-making bias means that the motivation, frame of mind, or beliefs of the journalist will have an impact on their writing and is generally pejorative. No, I will not be a guest on those platforms. So I ignore advertising bias media platforms. I ignore concision bias media platforms. I ignore content bias media platforms. I ignore corporate bias media platforms. I don't watch them. I will not be a guest on them. I ignore statement bias media platforms. I ignore gatekeeping bias media platforms. I ignore coverage bias media platforms. I'm not viewing you. I will not. You will not be featuring me in my being there. I ignore decision-making bias media platforms, and I will not be a guest on them anyway. Distortion bias, when the fact or reality is distorted or fabricated in the news. Wow. I ignore distortion bias media platforms, and I will not be a guest on them because they'll be pejorative against me. They will distort me. They will fabricate me. They will not have me on because they'll be afraid of me pissing off corporate media owners. They will present one side of the conflict, which means they'll leave me hanging, metaphorically speaking. They'll crowd out my wisdom, and my stories will not please the advertisers, so they wouldn't want to be bothered with me. And they choose to report only negative news about me, even though there's nothing negative about me. And you only cover me based upon my preferred policy issues, but not for what I think not just in policies, but how I think in general, I won't be covered. And the media coverage will be slanted against me because I am not get along within the media. Mainstream biases, tendency to report where everyone else is reporting and to avoid stories that will offend anyone. Well, because I am a global itinerant humanitarian, I'm a global animal cruelty prevention person, and I'm a global environmentalist, wow, they will definitely not have me on because I address everything from the human rights, equal rights, civil and political rights, economic, social, cultural rights perspective. So I'll be offending bigots. So mainstream media don't want me. I ignore mainstream biased media platforms and I will not be a guest on them. Distortion bias media platforms, I ignore them, won't be a guest on them. Next, partisan bias. A tendency to report to serve particular political party leaning. Well, because I'm a bipartisan, nonpartisan type of person, meaning I just want to work with good people on resolving conflicts and issues and solving problems, and no political party owns me. That's why I ignore partisan biased media platforms and I'll not be a guest on them. This is a big one for me. Sensationalism. Bias in favor of the exceptional over the ordinary, giving the impression that rare events such as airplane crashes are more common than common events such as automobile crashes. So, sensationalism offends me. Because it's all about, let's popularize evil. Let's glorify inhumanity. Let's demonize humane persons. Humaneness, demonizing humaneness. And let's celebrate injustice. So because of that, I ignore sensationalism media platforms. And I will not be a guest on sensationalism media platforms. Structural bias. When an actor or issue receives more or less favorable coverage as a result of newsworthiness and media routines, not as the result of ideological decisions. Example, incumbency bonus. So people like me are not considered newsworthiness to the media. And we're not, and people like me are not factored in their media routines. But if you are, a hate group, you are definitely newsworthiness to the media. Or if you use hate speech and commit hate crimes, hey, you're a part of our media routines. That's why I ignore structural bias media platforms, and I will not be a guest on structural biased media platforms either. False balance when issues presented as even-sided despite disproportionate amounts of evidence. Ugh. So basically saying, no, we addressed the issue. No, you didn't. All you did was whine, complain, yell, and have heated arguments and nearly come to blows, sometimes coming to blows, and talking loud and saying nothing. You're like a dull knife, just ain't cutting, quoting James Brown. And just lip service, no talk, no action. Not being about, you know, you're talking about it. So I'm a problem solver and a conflict resolutionist, so I ignore false balance media platforms, and I would not be a guest on false balance media platforms. Then it says, undue weight. When a story is giving much greater significance or portent than a neutral journalist or editor would give. So what that means is that instead of allowing you to think for yourself, coming to your own reasonable conclusions, and arriving at rational opinions, they'll tell you, they'll give you the answers instead of allowing yourself to guide yourself to the answers. That's why I ignore undue weight media platforms, and I will not be a guest on undue weight media platforms. Then it says speculative content. When stories focus not on what has occurred, but primarily on what might occur, using words like could, might, or what if, without labeling the article as analysis or opinion. I've always had an issue with that because there's a doom and gloom culture of media where they're always apocalyptic and they have their own version of millenarianism. Some parts of the media are a doomsday cult. You have doomsday culture in the media. To some extent, the media has become a cult. In certain cases, the media can be a racist cult. The media could be a xenophobic cult. The media could be an ageism cult. The media could be a texturism cult. The media could be a viewpoint discrimination cult. The media could be a colorism cult. The media could be a sexism cult. The media could be a queerphobic cult. The media could be a ableism cult. The media could be a height discrimination cult. The media could be a rankism cult. The media could be a sanism cult. The media could be a lookism cult. The media can be a classism cult. The media could be a sizism cult. The media could be a social stigma of obesity, fat shaming cult. The media could be a sex shaming cult, slut shaming cult, prude shaming cult, kink shaming cult, consent shaming cult. The media could be a political party cult. The media could be authoritarianism cult, dictatorship cult, totalitarianism cult, autocracy cult, nationalism cult, state religion cult, state atheism cult. The media has a history of being these kinds of ways. So some media is a Trumpism cult. And lastly, some media is a aporophobia, meaning fear and bigotry of poor people cult. So I ignore speculative content media platforms, and I will not be a guest on speculative content media platforms. False timeliness, implying that an event is a new event, and thus deriving notability without addressing past events of the same kind. Wow. So in other words, there are some people who will go, this happened yesterday. No, that's been happening every week now. They conflate new and old. They conflate new with common reoccurrence. I will not be a guest on false timeliness media platforms. And I will not, and I ignore false timeliness media platforms. Then it says ventriloquism. When experts or witnesses are quoted in a way that intentionally voices the author's own opinion. So we're supposed to be talking parrots and ventriloquist dummies? I ignore ventriloquism media platforms. I will not be a guest on ventriloquism media platforms. Demographic is also a common form of media bias caused by factors such as gender, race, and social and economic status. So the rich get covered more than the poor. Neurotypicals get covered more than neurodiverse individuals. White people get covered more than black people. Men get covered more than women. Straight people get covered more than LGBTQI+ people. So demographic media platforms I ignore, and I will not be a guest on them. It says, for example, in some European countries, female politicians receive fewer mentions in the media than male politicians. I just mentioned that, but it's good to have it repeated again. Due to gender bias in the media, a matched pair analysis of men and women, mostly American news sources, showed that men receive more news coverage than women of comparable age and occupation, in spite of the fact that women were more likely to be of public interest, as indicated by Wikipedia page views. So there's media chauvinism, media misogyny, media misogynoir, media trans misogynoir. So you have media toxic masculinity, media hyper masculinity. Media bravado, media machismo. The media's versions of you get yours, I get mine, I get yours and mine, every person out for themselves. The media's dog eat dog world. The media's wild, wild west. The media's jungle in the wilderness. Then it says, other forms of bias include reporting that favors and attacks a particular race, religion, gender, age, sexual orientation, ethnic group, or person. You do have Islamophobic media. You do have religious anti-Semitism media, too. You do have media that even attacks elderly people. They'll use Joe Biden and Trump's age as a measuring stick to discard old people as disposable rubbish. Wow. The media doesn't care about the health, the mental health, and the physical health of their consumers. And that has always depressed me and depressed my spirit. So I have decided to spend my time studying the Webster's New World Dictionary Thesaurus, the second edition, a unique 2-in-1 language resource, new edition with 61,000 entries. Dictionary entries and corresponding thesaurus entries together on every page. We define your world. I decided, well, this is officially my tool that I use for my podcasting. Now I understand why I use a lot of dictionary verbiage. So I have it in my hand. I decided I'm going to study that from now on. And because I've always been a student of religion, I decided to also spend my time studying the Bible, right? So I'm very rarely on YouTube now. Every now and then I listen to music, that's about it. And uplifting music, but for the most part, I'm reading the Dictionary Thesaurus and the Bible, reading both. And I read both not to make myself a zealot, not to make myself an intellectual. I'm just a natural intellectual. And I'm also a healthy representation of Christ consciousness, the universal Christ consciousness. I decided also that it has me in a realm of positivity that I, for the most part, can't find in the media. I noticed that I no longer have media trauma triggers by me staying away from media for the most part. And that's media literacy that I taught myself. I noticed that there are ad agencies that don't help out with disability-owned media, or black-owned media, or women-owned media, or LGBTQI+-owned media. I don't like media because marginalized owned media doesn't have the ad agency support it needs. I also have said to myself, in thinking that when it comes to media too, I really learned that a lot of times in the media, they don't apologize enough, sometimes not at all. And in the media, people are looking to get offended. They're listening to responding, which means they're not listening at all. They don't do active listening. They don't hear well. I'm not dissing people labeled deaf. I'm talking about people who you can tell they purposely misconstrue what is easily free of misconstruing and to begin with. And there's in the media, they always make, well, in the media, sometimes they make generalizations and blanket statements. When I say the media, I'm not talking about everybody in the media. I'm talking about the culprits that don't want the media to be mature. They like it for it to be immature. So I want to tell you where I got this information from. Not to do interviews. I want to make sure that I'm using a reputable site so I won't misrepresent Beyonce, because I believe in honoring her. And so far, right now I'm trying to find an article that clearly represent her. The best I could find is the Huffington Post. I like the title. It says, Beyonce doesn't have to talk, she doesn't want to. I like that there. Let Her Live by Sarah Bulbolts. Oh, okay. This is great. This is really great. I'll just read the parts that Beyonce would want me to focus the most on. Because I like to get to the core of things, not because people have a low attention span, even though in certain cases that's true. Mine is more of the things that we can all easily understand. So, I feel like I respect, basically, I'll tell you what it says. But Beyonce has little obligation to the media anymore. Her self-image control has been well earned. It's a mark of her power and the celebrity status she's achieved by being one of the hardest working people in music. She enjoys photo shoots, so she agrees to photo shoots. She enjoys the freedom to edit her direct responses to questions, so she does that too. Wow. Me and Beyonce have some things in common. I love taking pictures, and I love fine-tuning wordings and punctuations when I absolutely need to. And I love self-image control, especially as an abuse survivor. It's really awesome. I'm one of the hardest working people I know. I have power, and I'm starting to have some celebrity status, and I don't feel obligated to the media. Wow, Beyonce is awesome. It's natural to want a peaceful private life, even if you've chosen to live yours in a global spotlight. That is self-explanatory in terms of truth. That's how people are, which I think is fabulous. Why wouldn't Beyonce want to buy her own semblance of privacy by controlling her voice, her photos, interviews, and diary entries, especially when that is increasingly valuable? Yes, I like to control the privacy I get to have. I like to control my voice. I love to control my photos. I love to control my interviews. I love to control my diary entries. Because I don't believe in self-deception. I don't believe in the deception of others. I don't believe in fraudulence. I don't believe in phoniness. I don't believe in being a plaster saint. I don't believe in hypocrisy, period. And no one can explain better than me about me, about who I am than myself. Challenging to schedule. In a sense, that's good. Because it can be good. Here's why. Because I don't want to be easy to schedule when it comes to salacious sensationalism media. I love being a thorn in their side. We can't get Antonio. Awesome. Because y'all network business model is predicated on, let's treat humans as subhumans and be wealthy off it. No way, no how, no way, Jose. I let the world into my world, but only through carefully edited depictions that are truthful of me that I will have you know. But some parts of me, I don't let everything I think come out. I don't let every information I know emerge. So like Beyonce, I have decided to stop giving face-to-face interviews. I'm okay with frustrating journalists and interviewers because I avoid interviews out of discernment, wisdom, clarity, judiciousness, caution and precaution, because the media is spineless and heartless and mindless and soulless when it comes to people like me. And decided to do my own op-eds instead, where I just, from time to time, will write my own articles, and I'll get a website where I'll just put them on my website. I'll put my own articles on my own website. That'll be my op-eds. That way, if you want to know something about me, you listen to my podcast, you read my books, and you go to my website. I'll be developing a website in the future. Other than that, in my mind, that's all the knowing about Antonio that's needed. You don't need to know about me in on any other platform other than my own. I interview myself every day, so what do y'all need to interview me for? That's how I feel. I don't avoid interviews out of fear. I avoid interviews out of y'all will try to taint my imagery and my character. That's unacceptable to me. So I am a wise interview dodger, and I am proud of it. So I thank Beyonce for showing me media literacy, media wisdom, and media ethics. And Beyonce taught me that I can do photo shoots for myself. I don't need to rely on media publications of others to do photo shoots. And so I also learned that I decided to I learned from Beyonce that I've learned to irritate journalists for all the morally excellent reasons. And the last thing I'll say is this, is that I don't have to explain myself to the media in terms of answering their questions. I explain myself to myself and answer my own questions that I ask of myself. So, Beyonce, thank you for enlightening me on the importance of avoiding rumors, gossip, defamation, libel, slander, smear campaigns, tabloid talk show type of verbal behavior, nonverbal behavior, and not obsessing over sex and romance, so Beyonce, I wholeheartedly appreciate you. You have helped me to also protect myself from putting myself and others in precarious predicaments.